This is Dr. Karen Wilson-Starks, and welcome to my podcast series, The Voice of Leadership. Hi, this is Dr. Karen Wilson-Starks, your host for The Voice of Leadership and for Dr. Karen Speaks Leadership. And today I want to talk about the National Day of Prayer. The National Day of Prayer is coming up this week, and we want to keep that in mind. The purpose of this day is to pray for our nation and to pray for our leaders. This is the 73rd National Day of Prayer, and the theme this year is Lift Up the Word, Light Up the World, from 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, verses 29 through 31. The president of the National Day of Prayer is Kathy Branzell, and she is a board member of the National Day of Prayer, and she served alongside Vonette Bright, the wife of Bill Bright from Campus Crusade for Christ, when she was in that role. And she also served alongside Shirley Dobson from Focus on the Family, who was in the role for about 25 years, and Graham Lotz and Dr. Ronnie Floyd. So now Kathy Branzell is the one who is the president of the National Day of Prayer. She's also the founder and president of Fellowship and Christian Encouragement, FACE, FACE, for educators. And for 17 years, she weekly wrote scripture and prayer prompts, devotionals, all for educators. And she's also the author of a number of books, mostly on prayer. And every year, there's also a co-host who serves with the president of the National Day of Prayer. And this year's co-host is A.R. Bernard, the senior pastor of Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn, New York, and they have campuses in Long Island, Orlando, and 40,000 members as they are spreading the word of God in all of those places. So you might wonder, what about this National Day of Prayer? How did it get started? And I'm going to say that, first of all, there was a biblical precedent for the National Day of Prayer. And I'd like to read a scripture just so we have a sense of it. This is in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verses 1 through 2. And it says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." So we are really instructed and prompted to pray for our leadership. Pray for all men, but especially our leadership and those in authority. And they mentioned kings at that time. And we know from the biblical record that God has moved the hearts of kings who weren't even following him, men who didn't even know him, yet he was able to move them to do what God's plan was for that era and that season, whether that be for building the temple for the Jewish people at the time, or to release his people and to let them go. There's so many ways that God was intervening in the events of the world. And in fact, I'm reminded of a situation which took place in Babylon. And this was when God knew that he was sending his people Israel into Babylonian captivity. And he told them on their way, he gave them some instructions about how they were to operate in the midst of this. And this comes from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verses 4 through 7. And it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters. and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. And this is still a principle today, as we read in 1 Timothy. And at that time, God was issuing a judgment on his people Israel because of their disobedience, and he had them go into Babylonian captivity. And rather than for them to be dismayed, he says, I'm the one who sent you here. I will prosper you here. I will continue to grow you. So get married, have children, prosper in this place, and pray for this place so that you indeed will prosper. So we know from a biblical perspective, certainly the aspect of praying for the nation where we are living, the nation where we are having our livelihood. So as far as the United States goes, the movement for the National Day of Prayer started officially in 1952. There was a bill that was initiated by Conrad Hilton of Hilton Hotels and Senator Frank Carlson of Kansas. And that bill passed that the president would set aside and proclaim a suitable day each year other than Sunday as a national day of prayer on which the people of the United States may turn to God in prayer and meditation at churches, in groups, and as individuals. So that was 1952. And then all along the way, Vonnegut Bright started really sensing that there should be a specific day that was named as the National Day of Prayer. And so she spoke to senators and congressmen about it and kept after them, and particularly one particular congressman that she kept after, until finally, when we got to 1988, on the 5th of May, President Ronald Reagan signed into law the designation of the first Thursday in May as the annual observance for the National Day of Prayer. So Vonnegut Bright was very instrumental in making that happen. And every year, the U.S. president issues a proclamation concerning that National Day of Prayer. So we want to remember that. Now, if you're from a country that's not the United States, I invite you, nevertheless, to join us in prayer. You can pray for your country. You can pray for the world, for leadership across the globe. And I want to mention the context that we are in general, and these are avenues for prayer. So, for example, we know that there are two major wars going on that involve the United States. The war in the Middle East between Israel and the terrorist factions of Hamas and Hezbollah, backed also by Iran. So the war that's going on there, where many lives have been lost, people are still suffering in terms of not having food and shelter and water and clothing or medical care. We need to keep people in prayer for that situation, that God, of course, we know is still on the throne and will intervene. And we are praying that God's will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. So that's one of the wars. And then we still have the war that's going on between Russia and Ukraine and the suffering of the people there in similar fashion, shortages of food, shelter, clothing, medical care, safety. People are losing their lives in that conflict, which has been going on for a very long time. So these are things we want to pray about. We also have the U.S. presidential election coming up this year, and we want to pray for wisdom and discernment about selecting a leader for our country. And we have the privilege to vote in the United States, and we need God's guidance about how to exercise that vote. And we know that there may be others who emerge as candidates before it's all said and done. And so we are asking God to lead us and to guide us and to provide favor on our country in terms of finding a leader who is appropriate for our country. So that's another part that's really important. Also, there are just some issues that have just magnified, I would say, post-pandemic. And those would be things such as the increase in all-cause mortality in the United States. And we see almost weekly an increase in deaths of young people, including professional athletes along the way. There are so many medical crises. People, many that I know, who are dying in just routine everyday surgeries. People are dying from cancers and heart conditions. And there are medicines that are being given to people whose side effects are worse than what they had to begin with. And so those side effects are reigning supreme in their bodies and making them weaker rather than leading to an effective cure. So we want to pray that God will show us how to walk through these times, that lives will be preserved, that proper medications and treatments will be identified to help people who are suffering from various conditions. So we want to lift that up. We also want to lift up food crises. We are having a lot of scenarios where God's natural food that He created is being maligned, and we are creating chemical food, which is not necessarily agreeing with our bodies. And so it's important that we lift up the farmers, lift up the growers, lift up the food supply, that it not be tainted in the United States and in the world around us. And as we taint the food supply and as fake food is applauded, we find that our medical health and condition is not as good as it used to be. We're also living in a world where there's increased violence. There are people who are shooting and killing their neighbors, meaning people who are in close proximity to them, and also random strangers, people that they don't know. And this is coming from citizens, everyday citizens, and also those in leadership, whether they be police officers or others in security that are supposed to be protecting our people and our nation. So we want to lift up those concerns, and that police, for example, would have a true guidance about what they should do in really difficult situations. We need police officers. We need firemen. We need all of these services which we have, and we want them to be really doing the right thing. So we need to pray for them as well. They're in positions of leadership. They're in positions of authority. We also know that a lot is going on with respect to natural disasters, issues such as floods and fires and hurricanes and tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, and all kinds of weather challenges that are really impacting people at all across the globe and causing secondary issues. And I want us to remember that Jesus is the one who was on that boat on the sea, and he was asleep when a big storm emerged and erupted. And the disciples were fearful and afraid, and they just couldn't believe that he was asleep. "Don't you care that we perish?" they said to him. However, he got up and he rebuked the waves and he said, "Peace, be still." So whatever is happening with our weather, with natural disasters, God is the authority over it all. There is nothing that happens here that he can't start or stop. And the Bible even tells us that the snow, he has the snow in storehouses. That's a way for us to understand that all weather things, all kinds of natural disasters, he can calm the seas even for those. And so, again, I would remind you of the time when, after Jesus had fed the 5,000 people, and he sent his disciples in a boat to go over to the other side of the sea. And he went up into the mountains to pray. And a big storm emerged on the sea while the disciples were in the boat on the sea. And they were afraid and they were concerned about what they should do. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And they were frightened when they saw this figure walking on the water, not knowing that it was him. And Jesus says, "Fear not." He says, "It is I." He was the one that's walking. And we know that Peter said, "Well, Lord, if it's you, bid me to walk on the water to you." And Jesus told him to come. And for a brief period of time, Peter was walking on the water towards Jesus until he looked around, saw the frightful waves, took his eyes off of the Lord. And that's when he started to sink and cried out for the Lord to save him, which, of course, the Lord reached out his hand and lifted him back up and rebuked him for having such little faith in the situation. So as we think about this context of all the things that are going on in our world and all of the prayer concerns, we want to remember that we serve a God who is the ruler over all. And there is nothing that's too hard for him, nothing that's impossible for him. So rather than magnify all these problems, which indeed exist and which we have, we are going to magnify our powerful and awesome God and pray to him to intervene in all of these circumstances. So that's the attitude that we want to have as we go into this day of prayer for our nation, the National Day of Prayer. We want to remember that God is indeed able. He's more than able to handle anything that we are facing here. Now, Kathy Bronzell, who is the president of the National Day of Prayer, did write a prayer for this occasion, and I would like to read the prayer that she wrote. And she says, Jesus, we profess our faith in you. You are the light of the world, and in you there is no darkness. For you are our lamp, O Lord, and our God who lights our darkness. Forgive us for fearing and focusing on the darkness around us instead of being filled with faith and shining like the city on a hill you have called us to be. Forgive us for the times when we have been the absence of light, allowing darkness to dwell in America. Lead us forward to dispel the darkness and bring light throughout the church, family, education, business, military, government, and arts, entertainment, and media. We are saved by grace through faith, released from the darkness that once held us captive, and now free to walk in the newness of life in you. Light dispels darkness and exposes what is hidden and wicked. So we commit to rise and shine. For by you, Lord, we can take courage to run against the enemy. And by our God, we can fight the good fight and keep the faith as living lampstands in our communities and country. We fear no evil, for you are with us. Lord, your way is perfect. You lead us on paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word is truth, instructing and inspiring us to live in the abundant life you gave when you saved us from the death and destruction of the enemy. Fill us with truth as we read, study, and live your word. God, you are a shield for all those who take refuge in you. As we abide in you and your word abides in us, we take up our shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and run boldly into the darkness to lift up the word and light up the world. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So that was the prayer written for this year's occasion of the National Day of Prayer by Kathy Bronzell. And I want to read the scriptures that also go with this year's celebration of the National Day of Prayer. And the scriptures I'm reading today are from 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, verses 29 through 31. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And I will close with a brief prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, acknowledging you as the Lord of our lives, acknowledging you, Father, as the sovereign over all the universe. Lord, there is none like you. You are unique in all of your ways. You have all power and all authority, which you have given to your Son. Father, we thank you and we praise you because nothing is impossible for you. All things are possible for you, Lord, and we praise you for being that God of the impossible, being the God who can intervene when all of these things are going on in our world and more besides, Lord. Father, we just praise you for being our lamp. You are the one through your word who lightens the path before us and dispels the darkness. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for giving us strength through your Holy Spirit, Lord, to leap over a wall and to also run against a troop. Lord, we know that your way is perfect. Father, we know that your word is proven. We lift up your word, Lord, which is our light, Father. Our light shining in the darkness. We lift up your Son, who is the living word, Lord, as you lead and as you guide us. Thank you, Father, for being the shield, our shield, the shield for all those who trust in you. And thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding us and how we are to pray this week. Thank you, Lord, for being our shield, even in the midst of these challenging and difficult circumstances. We magnify you above them all. We thank you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed, my friends. Have a glorious week in the Lord, remembering the National Day of Prayer to lift up our leaders, to lift up those who are in places and positions of authority, to lift up the media, lift up education, lift up the military, lift up the government at all levels. Oh, Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you for protecting those who are on the front lines in every way, including those who are missionaries across our globe. We ask that your Son be lifted up and that all people will be drawn unto him. In Jesus' name, we thank you again, Lord. And you, my friends, have a blessed week. Hello, it's Dr. Karen here, and I'm here to celebrate the work of the Bible League, which is a global ministry that provides Bibles, ministry study materials, and through activities like Project Philip, also teaches and trains local people and how to share the Word of God. So today, the president and CEO of the Bible League, Yos Snoop, is with me to share a little bit more about what the Bible League is doing.
Yeah, the beauty of the local church is that it is the body of Christ, and it is the Holy Spirit that is calling the local church to be engaged in the Great Commission. As Bible League, we just come alongside those local pastors. Last year, I met a pastor. His name is Rolando in the Amazon, and he has this great vision to reach 200 communities with the Word of God, and we're able to come alongside them and help them with Bibles and resources.
Thank you so much, Yos. We are all partners together. You, the Bible League, are the hands and feet to the local people on the ground, and there are partners and donors out there who can be hands and feet to you as you also share with others. So those of you who are listening, if you want to be part of this ministry, and I invite you to be a part of it, I'm a part of it, go to BibleLeague.org, see more about the ministry, and see how you can participate and donate. Hi, this is Dr. Karen, and today I'm here with Terrence Chapman, who is the president and CEO of Victorious Family and also the author of Do Your Children Believe? Victorious Family has a goal of reaching 9.2 million families by 2030. Terrence, tell us, how far along are you on that goal?
Well, we're very excited. Last year, for example, we reached 133,800 families. And prior to that, so we're right on around the 400,000 family mark towards our 9.2 million goal in the second year, really in a year and a half. So we're extremely excited.
That is very, very exciting news. And I know that it's many new initiatives that help you to reach even more families. So tell us, what's new in the ministry?
You know, what's exciting, in December 7th of 2023, we had a national newspaper cover Victoria's Family, and it went throughout the country. And that has exposed us to over 30 million families in the U.S. From that, we've got a great deal of responses. And one of those responses is a new partnership that we're forming with Hampton University to come alongside of them and work in 8 counties in the Hampton Roads area. So we're real excited about that. Millions of families will be exposed to what does it look like to have family transformation taking place in their home.
That's phenomenal. So how can people reach you, and how can they reach your weekly resource that you have as well?
Well, they can reach us at victoriousfamily.org, victoriousfamily.org. Our resources are there. And we're excited because we have a brand new resource that just came out. It's our weekly rhythms guide. It really gives the parent and individual kind of a day-to-day rhythm and how they might walk in Christ. And so we really would encourage that they get a copy of our weekly rhythms guide for parents and individuals.
Thank you so much, Terrence. I'm so glad that you're here with me today. And to you out there in the audience, please go to victoriousfamily.org, donate to the ministry, get the weekly rhythms guide, and see what else is new in the ministry. See you next time.
You've been listening to The Voice of Leadership with me, Dr. Karen Wilson Starks. And I want to give a special thanks to jazz saxophonist Ron McMillan for granting us permission to use his gifted music on our show. Thanks for listening. And remember to go to my website, transleadership.com, for more strategies, insights, and leadership resources.